Netflix is a guilty Richard Pryor, the original scene. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you happy? Amen. We sure had a wonderful time this morning, and we're sure looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. Amen. You ready for the word? Somebody say, praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. One more time. Praise. There we go. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. So without further ado, as our brother Andrew makes his way out tonight, I just want to be where you are. That'll work. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Lord, take me to the place where you are. I just want
afternoon. Amen. I'm reminded of the story Brother Bram told when he was fixing to go out on the field in the presence of the Lord. Standing there, told him, said, the never failing presence of Jesus will be with you always. And amen. I believe right here tonight that that same presence is with the church. Amen. I believe what he was, he still is. And what he is what he'll always be. Amen. We say God bless you this evening. How many is happy to be a Christian? Amen. Amen. Give him praise. It's okay. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. He's the high priest. And he is worthy to be praised. Amen. We want to ask you tonight, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. We want to look there. And while you're turning there this evening, we want to just say we pray that something was said this morning to bless you and to help you and to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, just to keep pressing the battle. Amen. I believe we're one more step closer home. Amen. any day now we're going to leave here and we're going to be with our Lord. And that's what we're all desiring and looking forward to, is to be with him. Amen. And we also want to say again, we appreciate Brother Doug and appreciate the opportunity to stand here this weekend and to minister to you from the message of the hour. And I sure appreciate Brother Doug's friendship and his stand on this word. And I know we don't maybe see each other that often, but it seems like every time we do, we just pick right back up where we left off. Amen. Because we're friends, and we appreciate these men of God that stand for this word. And amen. We also want tonight to just say again, it's a real honor to have my family here with me this evening. And amen. We have been gone for a few days, so we're headed home tomorrow. So you all remember us in prayer, and we'll sure be praying for you in your upcoming camp meeting. And I know it's an exciting time. We just pray the Lord do something special for you. Amen. I believe Brother Doug said it was up on Mount Lemmon, if I'm not mistaken. And there used to be a brother over in Kentucky. He'd have some meetings called Praise on the Mountain. Amen. So we'll just be praying that y'all have a praise in God on the mountain time. Amen. Amen. If you want to just bow your hearts with us this evening, let's just ask the Lord to come. Heavenly Father, Lord, thy word is true. And as your believers have gathered here this afternoon, Lord, there's a charge of expectation. Lord, there's a feeling of anticipation in the air. Father, it's because of what you're doing in our lives and your presence. It's being, Lord, so vindicated among us, service after service after service. And Lord, as we come here tonight, we've not come expecting, Lord, one thing less than what you would do for us, Lord. We are under expectation of your presence. Now, Father, may your word come in this building tonight in power and authority. Lord, may you heal every sickness, Lord. May you deliver every captive, oh God. May you bring grace to those, Lord, that would be bound. May you bring, Lord, deliverance to those, oh God. And Father, I pray as we endeavor to look into your word, Lord, may you send the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the meeting. Lord, that your spirit could take these things, Lord, and you could place them in the hearts of the people and break them down, Lord. And Lord, as your prophet told us, you can take the things that are complicated and make them simple. You can uncomplicate them because they're truths. And Lord, we're turning our attention now to the eternal things, which is your word. Now, Father, have your way among us tonight, and we'll be sure to give thee all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers says, amen and amen. Ephesians, the first chapter, and we want to look here in the third verse of Ephesians 1. Paul here writing, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, what I like about this is Paul is not saying who will bless us or who might bless us, but he hath blessed us. So actually, this has been done already in eternity. So you're catching up in time with what God done for you in eternity. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I want to look at one other place with you in the book of Hebrews, the sixth chapter. The book of Hebrews, the sixth chapter. And I want to look there in the 19th verse of Hebrews 6. It's another very familiar scripture. Paul here writing says in Hebrews 6, verse 19, he says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Amen. Notice he doesn't say of the body or the spirit, but he says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Amen. We ask the Lord this evening to add the blessing to the reading of his word as you can have your seats here this afternoon. I want to, from those passages of scripture, I want to, for just a few moments, to speak to you here. And I want to draw our thought and our title here from a quote. Brother Bram preaches the Adoption Series, 1960. In Adoption Part 1, he reads Ephesians, the first chapter and the third verse, and he stops and says, now in heavenly places. He said, now you're not just not out anywhere, but in heavenly places. We are assembled in heavenly. It means that's the position of the believer. That if I'm prayed up and you're prayed up, or the church is prayed up, he said, and we're ready for the message, then we have assembled ourselves together as saints. We are called out. We are baptized with the Holy Ghost. We are filled with God's blessings. We are called. We are elected. We are set together in heavenly places. Now, he said, we are heavenlies in our souls. We are heavenlies in our souls. And that's what I want to talk to you here for a few moments tonight on, is we are heavenlies in our souls. He said, our spirit has been brought us into a heavenly atmosphere. He said, oh, brother, there you are, a heavenly atmosphere. What could happen tonight if we would be sitting here in a heavenly atmosphere and the Holy Spirit moving among every heart that's been regenerated and become a new creature in Christ Jesus? All sins are under the blood. We are in perfect worship with our hands up to God and our hearts lifted. We are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, worshiping together in the heavenly places. Did you ever sit in one? He said, oh, I've sat till I would weep for joy and say, God, never let me leave here. Just heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now he goes in there from in heavenly places and he turns in the second paragraph and says, begins to speak about spiritual blessings and says, blessing us with what? Amen. With divine healing, with foreknowledge, with revelation, with visions, with powers, with tongues, with interpretation. Amen. With wisdom and knowledge, all the heavenly blessings and joy unspeakable. How many wants that tonight? Joy unspeakable. Amen. And full of glory, every heart filled with the Spirit. We are walking together. We are sitting together in heavenly places. Now watch. And there's not one evil thought among us. Y'all forgive me. There's not one cigarette smoked. There's not one short dress. Not one this, that, or the other. Amen. Nobody got anything against one another. Everybody's speaking in love and harmony. Everybody with one accord in one place. Amen. Then suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a rushing mighty wind. Amen. There you are, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. Now that's what I desire. Amen. Is spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, amen. I want to say this to you because Webster, I'm going to take a drink of water. Y'all forgive me. Drink it on the job. Amen. Webster actually says, amen, that these heavenlies, they are actually suggesting the blessed state of heaven. So in other words, amen, there's a people who is on the earth that is enjoying the blessings of heaven before they ever even get there. Now, what amazes me about this is Paul says that we are in heavenly places and we are enjoying spiritual blessings. And then he says, amen, that we have an anchor of the soul. Amen. So, amen, the Bible says that the anchor is not in the body. It's not so much in the spirit, but the anchor is of the soul. Now, 1961, someone asked Brother Branham, they said, please explain the difference between the spirit and the soul. He said, well, now that's a hard one, but the first thing you are is you are a triune being, just like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See? Amen. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is three titles going to one person, which is Jesus Christ. And you are soul, body, and spirit. He said, but it takes those three to make you. With just one of them, amen, you're not you. See? It takes the three to make you. He said, now watch, the soul is the nature of the spirit, that when the Holy Spirit comes up on you, it does not do nothing. He said it changes or converts your spirit to a different soul. And that soul is a different nature that's on that spirit. Amen. So the soul is the nature of your spirit. Are you with me? The soul is the nature of your spirit. First you were mean, evil, hatred, malice, strife. Amen. But now you're loving and you're sweet and you're kind. Amen. Do you see the difference? It's your nature. Amen. I'll call it that. It's your soul that's been changed. Amen. The old soul died and the new soul, which is the new nature, amen, was born into you. See, that's the soul of the spirit that controls the spirit that controls the body. Amen. So in other words, you are a body, you are a spirit, and you are a soul. But the prophet of God is not speaking of the control tower, amen, from the body to the spirit to the soul, amen, but he's taking it from the soul to the spirit to the body. Amen. In other words, the real you is not the body. The real you is not the spirit, amen, but the real you is the soul, amen. Now the prophet of God tells us there's three kinds of believers in every church, right? Amen. There's a make believer, there's an unbeliever, there's a make believer, and then there is a real genuine believer, right? Now, I probably said this to you before, but just let me share it again. Amen. Inside every believer is three kinds of believers. Amen. You say, oh, Brother Andrew, how are you going to prove that? Well, according to a prophet, your flesh is an unbeliever. Amen. Your flesh will never believe. Your flesh is an enemy, of God. Your flesh is an unbeliever. Amen. Then you move to the second realm, which is your spirit. Amen. And your spirit is a make-believer. If everything's going good and everybody's happy and there's no trouble, amen, man, you can raise your hands in the song. You don't have to say, come on, give him a hand clap of praise. Come on, raise your hands. No, amen, because your spirit, amen, is in a place based on the condition, amen, of the atmosphere. But if you get a bad report on Monday or you come in church and somebody got a little something against somebody, amen, that spirit can drop into the lows of lows, amen, because the spirit is a make-believer. Amen, if your favorite preacher's in town, man, you're happy. If your favorite preacher's not here, then you're not happy. Amen, if they sing your favorite song, you can shout hallelujah. If they don't sing your favorite song, then they miss the will of God. Amen. The spirit is always up and down. Amen. But let's not talk about the unbeliever. Let's not talk about the make believer, but let's talk about the real believer. Amen. And the real believer is your soul. Amen. Regardless of what your body's going through, your soul still believes. Amen. Regardless of what your spirit is going through, amen, your soul still believes, because as a believer, you are a twofold being. Amen. As a believer, you are a twofold being. Amen. The prophet God said, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, amen, then you are a candidate for association with the unseen world. Amen. And the supernatural. No wonder people can't believe in those things. They have never come in contact. He said they've got nothing in here to believe with. But when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart, amen, then quickly he becomes a twofold being. He is one of the earth to die. Amen. And he is one of the heaven to live. Amen. In your body you are subject to death, but in his soul he has passed from death unto life. In his body he has earthly contact with five senses. Amen. But in his spirit he has a contact with God. Amen. Through the Holy Ghost. And the angels of God visit them and speak with them. And they are messengers sent from God to reveal and to bring the messages from God to this individual. Amen. That's the secret or the mystery of your life. Amen. Is that you are a twofold being. Amen. In your body, your hair is getting grayer. Amen. Or getting thinner. Amen. Your shoulders are getting more stooped. There's more wrinkles. There's more aches. There's more pains. Amen. But in your soul, amen, you have passed from death unto life. Amen. That in your soul, you can no more die than God can die. Amen. Because the soul has been sealed until the day of your redemption. Listen, we do not need contact with just a church. We don't just need contact with the preacher. Amen. But we need contact with God. Amen. And that comes through the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to borrow your Friday night Bible study. Amen. We need the leadership of the Holy Ghost. In the Smyrnian church age, Brother Bram said it, you ready here Friday. Amen. Put the leadership of the Holy Ghost aside, and the church is nothing but the world with God's name attached to it. Amen. See, the Spirit of God makes the difference. Amen. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian. Anyone can do that, but the point is whether or not, amen, you have the Spirit of God in you, for without that Spirit you are a reprobate, amen, and you are none of his. The point is not whether you're around the Spirit, amen, but the point is, in this is the Spirit of God in you. Now, amen, I said to you like this, behind everything there is a spirit. Can we all agree there? Behind everything there is a spirit. I've heard people say, well, I don't know why the preacher always preaching against things. Amen. Well, the preacher is actually preaching against the spirit and not the person. Amen. It's like somebody told me one time, they said, I don't understand why the preacher's always talking about television. Amen. Well, he's not talking about the television or the person that's got it. Amen. He's talking about a spirit, amen, that's behind the thing. Remember, he said, oh, it's, he said, I've been made up in a spiritual form, amen, of watching things and seeing things move, amen, and forewarning people of things that's coming to pass. He said, behind everything there is a spirit, there is a motive and an objective. So if a preacher takes a sermon and deals on makeup, amen, he's not striking the woman wearing it, amen, he's striking the spirit that's motivating her to wear it.
If he preaches against boys wearing skinny jeans, amen, he's not after the boy. Amen, he's after the spirit of perversion. Amen, that anointed a man in Hollywood to dress our boys like a sissy. Well, we might as well preach right here. Amen, it's not the person, it's the spirit. Amen, there's a motive behind it. There's an objective behind it. Amen, because we are motivated by a spirit. Whatever your spirit is what's moving you. You are motivated by a spirit. Now that's a powerful thing, because people get mad at the preacher and they ought to get mad at the devil. Well, we might as well preach, we're here. Amen, you get mad at the preacher for saying something. You ought to get mad at the devil. Amen, because it's the devil that's motivating you to get mad at the preacher. It's the devil that motivates you to get mad and stay home for 2 weeks. Amen, because the preacher stepped on your toes. Amen, it's not the preacher, it's the word. Amen, won't you turn your attitude towards the devil? Won't you turn your harshness towards the devil? Amen, it's the preacher that's given his heart to God. Amen, to preach the word. Amen, you ought to believe the word. You ought to receive the word. You ought to let the word of God come into your soul, amen, and change it from the inside out. Listen, if we change it from the outside in, amen, somebody will change you, amen. But if you ever get changed from the inside out, amen, time won't change you, churches won't change you, hard times won't change you, amen, because it's not coming from the body, it's coming from the soul. Whatever your spirit is what's motivating you. You are motivated by a spirit. He said, you take a person, goes off and says, oh, I'm going to be a Christian, and they start off all right, amen, but the first thing in about 6 months they start going back, start this away, that away. You can tell right then that the anointing is leaving them. When they start doing things contrary, amen, to their confession, is a sign that the anointing is leaving them. For as long as the Spirit of Christ is in you, it will make you Christ-like. As long as the Spirit of Christ is in you, it will make you Christ-like. Now, I just want to say it to you like this, because how many believes the anointing is a powerful thing? The anointing can't just be upon you. The anointing can't just be around you. Amen. But the anointing has got to be in you, and you have got to be in the anointing. Listen, your body can get anointed and run. Your spirit can get anointed, amen, and speak in tongues or see visions, amen. But that's not the anointing that'll change your body. The anointing has got to go from your flesh, amen, from your spirit into your soul, amen. He's not sealing your flesh until the day of redemption. He's not sealing your spirit until the day of redemption, but he's sealing your soul, amen, until the day of your redemption. And you know what a seal does? A seal does two things. A seal seals in, but it also seals out. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost has come upon your soul, amen, the devil is sealed out and God is sealed in. When the Holy Ghost comes into your soul, unbelief is sealed out and faith is sealed in. When the Holy Ghost comes into your soul, amen, negativity is sealed out. Amen. And the positive confession of God's word is sealed in. Amen. Why? Because the anointing is Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. In other words, if any man be in the anointing, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man be in the anointing, and if the anointing be in any man, amen, it is the hope of glory. It is the possibility for a man to become a new creature. Abraham said, what is it? It is Christ, amen, coming to his body. We all know what the anointing is. It is Christ that comes on the word that makes the word live. See, Christ is the anointing. He is the spirit that comes upon the word, amen, that quickens the word to make it live. Now the word is in your heart. You believe in divine healing, whatever more. See, and Christ, the anointing, coming to his body. Amen. See the connection there? Just like husband and wife to become one. one. Now the church has got to get to the ministry until Christ, amen, and the church becomes one, and he can anoint you for every blessing that's in the Bible. See, it's all of it's yours. Everything that's promised in this age is yours. Amen. But if you're going to get it, you got to get in the anointing. If you're going to receive it, you got to get in the anointing. If it's going to manifest itself through you, amen, the anointing has got to be in you, and you've got to be in the anointing, and Christ is the anointing. The music is not the anointing, though we love it. Amen. The preacher is not the anointing, though he can preach a good sermon. Amen. The choir is not the anointing, though they can sing the glory down. Amen. But Christ is the anointing. Now, what did the prophet of God say? He said, this is the age when Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, when he preaches that Christ the mystery, he preaches it in a threefold purpose, right? He says, what is the first fold? Amen. That God reveals himself, and Christ is the revelation of God. He said, then the second fold is by the revelation of himself. He will take preeminence in a body. Amen. What is the third fold? By the revelation of himself, having preeminence in a body, he will lead that body back to a Garden of Eden like husband and wife again. Do you see what it is? Amen. The seventh angel's ministry then is not to declare himself, it's to declare Christ is here. He said, my ministry is different from the pastor. It is different from the evangelist. He said, my ministry is to declare him. Amen. He is here. Amen. Then who is here? Amen. Christ is here. And who is Christ? He is the anointing. And if the anointing gets in you and you get in the anointing, it will lead you into ever spiritual blessing. It will lead you out of earthly dimension into heavenly places. It'll lead you beyond six senses. It'll lead you beyond five senses. It'll lead you into a place of stability. Amen. It'll lead your soul to an anchor. Oh, to thank the prophet of God said Christ. Amen. The anointing is here. He said, now I believe we as people have perfect, absolutely perfect vindication that Jesus Christ is with us. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ is with us. Can you say that with me? Jesus Christ is with us. Amen. And if he is here, he's here to answer and to minister to us every blessing that he's promised in the word. If he is here, then he's here on purpose. And his purpose is to minister to the church, amen, every promise of God and blessing that is promised in his word for this age. So when we pray and lay hands upon the sick, we expect you to believe that. Amen. God expects you to believe that. Now watch a prophet's terminology. Amen. Never move from it. Amen. Let nothing shake you. Now you remember when I read you that quote on adoption, he said, blessing us with what? With divine healing, with vision, with foreknowledge, amen, with powers. And he said one word there. He said, with revelation. That's the spiritual blessing I want to talk to you on for a few moments. Amen. Is he is blessing us, amen, in heavenly places with revelation. Amen. Now watch what a prophet says. Amen. Never move from it and let nothing shake you. Can we say those two things together? Never move from it and let nothing shake you. Amen. The devil don't want to hear you say it, but let's say it again. Never move from it and let nothing shake you. You say, preacher, what should I never move from? Why should I never be shaken from? Amen. I'll tell you what it is. From the revelation of the presence of Jesus Christ being here now, regardless of the conditions. Amen. Never move from that revelation. Let nothing shake you from that revelation. Amen. From the presence of Jesus Christ being here now, amen, regardless of the condition. You say, well, I'm sick. I say, he's here. You say, well, I'm depressed. I say, he's here. You say, well, I'm broke. He's here. You say, well, I'm bound. He's here. Amen. Whatever you say, I'm going to answer you with the words of a vindicated prophet that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not in a grave in Jerusalem, and he's not in a funeral home or in a grave in Jeffersonville. Amen. But he's here, and he's here in power. He's here in authority. He's here in supreme authority. He's here in anointing. He's here in revelation. Amen. Whatever you have need of, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has descended from the high priest throne into the church. Amen. To minister to you healing, to minister to you every promise that's in his word. Listen, he's not just coming church. He's here. You say, well, Brother Andrew, we got to be careful with this presence of Jesus Christ. I know some guys ran off in left field and they called it parousia. Amen. But before they got into the false doctrine, amen, a prophet taught, amen, the presence of Jesus Christ is here. Listen, friends, if he's here, amen, we ought to expect him. If he's here, we ought to entertain him. If he's here, we ought to worship him. If he's here, we ought to give him praise. If he's here, we ought to entertain Elohim, because he has returned to the church to anoint you. He anoints your soul to receive the revelation. Oh, somebody shout, he's here. He's here. The devil don't want you to believe it, but he's here anyhow. He's here regardless of the conditions. Oh my, he is here. And if he is here, everything is okay. If he is here, every situation is fixed. If he is here, every question is answered. If he is here, prodigals are on their way here. If he is here, miracles are in the room. If he is here, blessings are in the room. If he is here, revelation and power and anointing. He's here, and he's here to do what his word said he would do when he come on the scene in the age you're living in. Now, he is here. Matthew 16 said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. Never said the gates of hell wouldn't be against it, but it just said they wouldn't prevail. I love this. The prodigal God said, now watch where the gates of hell is against. It ain't against the denomination. It's not against the government. The world recognizes that. But that's not what the gates of hell is against. He said it's against the spiritual revelation. Here it is, of Christ being here now, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what it's against. The gates of hell is against the spiritual revelation of Christ being here now, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mark of the Beast 61. But do you see, the whole secret was the revelation. There's where the trouble is. Amen. People don't understand that the whole church of the living God is built upon a spiritual revelation of Christ. Jesus said so in Matthew 16. When the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ, and he is the word. See, now why? When that word comes into you, where is that word coming to? It's not just coming in your flesh. It's not just coming in your spirit. Amen. But when that word comes into you, which the real you is your soul, when that word comes into you, amen, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He said, there's the word coming in. Now watch this. The revelation of every word of God is true. Watch what the prophet says. Hang your soul on any phase of it. Then he stops and puts a semicolon and says, revelation. Amen. Hang your soul on any phase of it. Revelation. You say, well, Brother Andrew, I can hang my soul on the Bible. Amen. Do you realize that there's 900 more denominations? Amen. That's claiming they're hanging their soul on the Bible. Amen. But tell me which Bible's right. They got the King James, New King James. Amen. Somebody told me the day they've come out with a Queen James. Amen. For the LGBTQ community. Amen. Do you see where we're at? Amen. We've come to an age where there is a famine, and it's not a famine of bread. It's not a famine of water, but it's a famine of hearing the true word of God. But in the evening time, according to Malachi 4, Zechariah 14, the light shall arise upon Zion, and the Lord shall appear unto her. And when the Lord appears unto her, he will anoint her to go into the promises of the word, and she will move from just carrying a Bible to be in the Bible. She will move from just reading scripture to be in the living interpretation of the scripture that she's reading in the age that she's living in. Listen, I feel like preaching here for a minute. We're not a dead church. We are the living written epistles of Almighty God. We have not come into this age to be defeated by the conditions of Laodicea. We have come here to defeat conditions. Come on, I'm talking to some Holy Ghost filled. Amen. Fire baptized. Amen. Devil stomping, serpent bruising. Amen. Sons and daughters of the living God. Come on, you got rights in this service. Well, we might as well open up the channels, hadn't we? Amen. Y'all fishing to go up on the mountain and have a meeting. Amen. Why pack up and go to all the effort to go have a camp and go up there and let the devil rob you of the greatest hours of your life? I say right here on Sunday night, we ought to draw our sword and say, devil, you ain't taking another minute. We're going in these meetings and we're going to receive from God. We're going to hear from God. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see signs. We're going to see wonders. We're going to feel the influence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on. Amen. This is your message. This is your time. This is your season. This is your anointing. Amen. The sun is up. Amen. The power is here. The Holy Ghost is falling in the church. He's doing what he said he would do. He's confirming it with signs, living wonders. He is here. Hang your soul on any phase of this revelation. Come on, this message is not books. It's an anchor. This message is not pictures on the wall. It's an anchor. This message is an anchor to your soul. Come on, if you get this message in your soul, it'll hold you in the good times. If you get this message in the soul, it'll hold you in the bad times. If you get this message in your soul, it'll hold you when your friends walk away. It'll hold you when loved ones forsake you. Come on, it's an anchor to your soul. Brother Bram didn't say we're heavenlies in our body, because right now some of y'all's fighting pain to be here, but you're here anyhow. Come on, y'all know what I'm telling you. Amen. Right now, some of y'all's bodies don't even feel like being here, but you got here anyhow. You know why? Because the word is in your soul, and it's a pulsation. It's a pulsation of faith. It's a pulsation of power. It's a thump, 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 thump. It's a Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's not beating out negativity. It's not beating out negative ideas. It is beating out Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now, look at this word soul. It is the breath of life. It is the vital force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing. I love this one. It is the seat of the feelings, the desires, the affections, aversions, our heart, soul, etc. This is my favorite, Brother Doug. Amen. The soul as an essence which differs from the body. Amen. And is not dissolved by death. Listen, it is distinguished from other parts of the body. Then there is a soul in you that death cannot dissolve. There is a soul in you, amen, that sickness cannot get to. Come on, church. There is a soul in you, amen, that depression cannot touch. Come on. Where does depression come from? It comes from your spirit. It comes from your body. But it's not coming from your soul. And I just go ahead and preach to you. Amen. Now let's take our halos off. That's okay. Let's take our halos off, because we've everyone come to spots that we said, I can't make it another day, but we're still here. We've said, this message is not for me, but we're still believing it. We've said, well, I don't think I'll ever overcome this, but here you are tonight on the other side of it. You say, where's that coming from? It's coming from your soul. Your soul never quit. Your soul never got discouraged. Hallelujah. Your soul, amen, is the residency of the word. And if the word is in your soul, then the word of God will defeat the devil anywhere, anytime, any place, under any conditions. Are you hearing me? Amen. Y'all said it. I'm too weak to go. That wasn't your soul. That was your body. Amen. But watch what the prophet says. He says, our bodies, we come into a heavenly atmosphere. Then our spirits begin to lift up. Amen. And then our heavenlies in our souls. Now, I got to thinking about that. Amen. Because you know as well as I know, you've come in here and you didn't feel like worshiping sometimes. We got any humans here? You didn't feel like raising your hands. That's why Brother Luke had to say, come on, everybody, raise your hand. Oh, I don't feel like it, but I'll do it anyhow. Brother Doug got up to preach, and man, amen, he got up and been laying the presence of God all day, had a word for you. And he said, come on, church, say amen. Amen. That wasn't coming from your soul. You realize, now I might as well go and preach to you since I'm here, hadn't I? Amen. Your body will start telling you on Wednesday, you're too tired to go to church. And it'll say, you know what? Now, can I tell you something? Your body and your spirit will get together, and they will actually team up against your soul. They will get together, and your body will say, you know what? You're too tired. You worked all day. You ain't got no strength to go. You need to stay home in your easy chair, put in a bag of popcorn, get a cold glass of tea, and hope the streaming ain't interrupted tonight. Amen. That's what your body says. Amen. And then your spirit says, that's the truth. And plus, if you get down there, Sister So-and-so didn't shake your hand last week, and it's been 2 months since Brother Doug acknowledged you, and it's been 3 weeks since Sister Jennifer called you. Amen. So they don't even love you down at the church. And so your body and your spirit will come into an agreement that you don't need to go to church. Amen. But your soul will say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that much more as you see the day approaching. Amen. And you know what will happen? Your soul will override your body. It'll override your spirit. And your soul will get a hold of the microphone and start preaching to your body and your spirit. You know what your soul will say? I'm going to the house of God. And your body says, no, you're not. And your soul says, oh, yes, I am. And here's how I'm going to get there. I'm going to use your 2 feet, amen, to walk in the building. And your body says, okay, I'll let you get in there, but you ain't going to use my hands to raise. You ain't going to use my voice to say amen. You ain't going to use my feet to stand up. Amen. But your soul says, you just wait. So you get in church, amen, and your body's low, your spirit's lower than a snake's belly, amen, and you start hearing the songs of Zion. And a few minutes, that old foot that wasn't going to move starts going, glory, glory, oh, hallelujah. And that body says, wait a second, I wasn't going to do this. And the soul says, you don't have a choice. In a few minutes, that word starts going forth, and you've done got your resume laid out on how you're going to tell Brother Doug nobody loves you at the church. In a few minutes, he's going to get up, and the word in him is going to discern that old negative devil working in your spirit, and it's going to call that devil out, and you're going to say, that's right, preacher. I do love people, and people does love me. Come on. You know what's happening? Your soul is in the heavenlies, and it will cause your body and your spirit to join it. The soul is not distinguished by death. Now, I love this next part because in Hebrews 6:19, I normally don't do this, but I actually found this verse in the Amplified Bible, and I just want to share it with you if that's okay. Paul says, this hope, this confidence assurance we have as an anchor of the soul. Now watch this. It cannot slip and it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. The soul cannot break down no matter what pressure bears upon it. It is a safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, the most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells. Then the anchor of the soul is the revelation of the presence of Jesus Christ that has come into your soul. Remember, said, now you get a man under pressure and he'll show his real characteristics. He said, but watch, the anchor of the soul is the revelation of the word. You sell out to the world and the things of the world and everything that pertains to anything else to have this. Amen. Put your whole anchor right on that. It's the anchor of the soul to see his revelation of the word. Mercy, Brother Daniel. When your soul sees the revelation of his word, it becomes the anchor of the soul. Then he says, isn't it beautiful when you can really anchor your soul into Christ in such a place till you can get quiet before him and you can hear his voice speaking to you? Amen. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the Lord that giveth thee eternal life. I love thee. I know thee before the foundation of the world. I put thy name, amen, upon my book. Thou art mine. Fear not. It's me. Don't be afraid. I am with you. So in other words, when anything becomes anchored, it cannot move. Brother Bram said, watch some of these things. He said, none of these things move me, for I am tied to an anchor. He said, I believe in the Bible being the full revelation of Jesus Christ. So we believe that the word, this Bible, is the word of God, and therefore you can hang your soul upon any phase of it. You can hang your soul upon any phase of the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I love Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, amen, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to to live after the flesh. Amen. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Come on. If you get the control tower changed in the soul, amen, from the inside out, amen, your soul will take control of your spirit and your spirit will take control of your body. Come on. Amen. It was not body, spirit, soul. He was preaching soul, spirit, body. He was not preaching from the outside in. He was preaching from the inside out. Amen. If you get the soul taken care of, the soul will take care of the spirit. And the spirit will have to come under subjection to the soul. Amen. Because it's coming from the word having preeminence in the soul. When the word comes into your body, it brings your whole body subject to it. Subject to what? The word of God, if it's in you. See, then the Holy Spirit in your soul, amen, will manifest and vindicate the word of God personally to you, and it will make it live in flesh. He created the winds and the waves, and the winds had to obey him. He said that the same God created these bodies. Amen. Now watch, won't these bodies have to obey him by coming into subjection to his word? Won't these bodies have to obey him by coming into subjection to his word? Then what we are feeding on is actually storing up vitamins in us for a body change. Oh, glory to God. Amen. These bodies are not going to get the final say. The soul that has been sealed by the presence of God through the Holy Ghost by the word is going to lead your body to a body change. Jesus said, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood. Think of it. Our bodies obey when we have no more control of it. Now, you all remember the story Abraham tells about the Indian chief. Remember, he said there was a black dog and a white dog. He said, he asked him, said, chief, which one wins the fight? He said, well, that depends on which one chief feeds the most. So I think that's a good answer here. See, it just depends on the warring of the body that's in you. Now watch this. It depends on which one you cater to, which nature you cater to, the carnal nature after the things of the world or the spiritual nature after the things of God. Then what is the soul? Amen. It's the nature. The spirit is the nature of the soul. Then if the soul gets a new controller on the control tower, then it will change the nature of the spirit, which will change the nature of the soul. I love this. Now we've all had this question asked, how do we bring our bodies subject to the word? How many's heard that? You've heard that? Bringing your body subject to the word. Now I just say this to you. I've often wondered, Brother Doug, how do we bring our body subject to the word? I've actually prayed that. Lord, show me how. And the other day I was listening to a tape and it amazed me. It just jumped right out at me. Brother Bram says we are carnal and that part must perish. But then inside we are a spirit man, soul inside. And that's faith in God's word. Then we bring our outside body under subjection. Are you all ready for this real deep answer? Have you got your books out and your notepads to write this real deep theological answer down? We bring our outside body under subjection to the word by faith. By accepting what God said. We bring our outside body under subjection to the word by accepting what God said. Look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body into subjection to God. Now watch this. He that's born of God doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. See, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are, see, it throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just know, just get in Christ and it's all gone. See, because your body is subject to the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has taken the residency of the control tower of your soul and is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world, for they are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ, and your body becoming subject to the Spirit. Amen. Now try to live a right kind of life. In other words, we are becoming subject to the Spirit by the Father of spirits. Remember Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. When your daddy corrected you, you didn't talk back. Are you with me? When your daddy said something to you, you paid attention. I was in a restaurant the other day, and there was a boy in there, and his mama was sitting next to him, or his daddy. I can't remember mom or daddy. And she handed him something, and he turned around and raised his hand up and said, "I don't want that." So she turned around and handed him something else, and they just laughed about it. Brother Tim Barnes is sitting there with me from out in Missouri. I looked around him. I said, "Brother Tim," I said, "that ain't going to end well right there." Are you hearing me? Amen. Our fathers of the natural would give advice and we would come subject to it. He said, then how much more rather in subjection unto the Father, the spirits, and live. Now look at this. Brother Bram said, watch, if you let your faith loose to God's spirit, it will bring your body in subjection to God's redemptive blessing to you. Who is this? 1959. His word has gone forth. It's fallen into the heart. It corrects us and brings us into subjection to Spirit. The word of faith, by accepting by the believer what God said, will bring your body under subjection to that word. I'm not going to preach all night, so stay with me. I can show you though where that actually worked in the book, in the Bible, the Roman centurion. You know what he done? He come to Jesus. Now watch what a prophet says. He said he come to Jesus, and there's very few people that I really come up in contact by laying on of hands. My ministry is not that. We realize after the great ministry laying on hands, but ministry of laying on of hands was a Jewish sign. When Jairus come, he said, come lay your hands on my daughter and she'll live. But the Roman centurion said, just speak the word. That's all. See, just say the word. And Jesus turned and said, I haven't found faith like that in Israel. Don't even come by my house. Just speak the word and my daughter will be okay. He said, now watch, just speak the word, because what happened? Now he says, bear this in mind. That Roman knew that every sickness and disease was subject to his word. That Roman had a revelation that every sickness and disease, amen, was subject to his word. Now, can I turn it to a prophet's words for you? He said, now if you can realize the same, it's all over. If you can realize the same thing that the Roman realized, it's all over. He said, see, when you can realize the same, that every demon, somebody say it with me, every demon, every sickness, every disease, every affliction is subject to the word of God. When that revelation drops in your soul, that the disease that the doctor diagnosed you with, that the affliction you've been going through, that the sickness you've been facing, that the demon that's been tormenting you, when you realize all of those are subject to the word, amen, it's over. Well, I want to say to you tonight, how many recognizes that every demon is subject to the word? Every disease is subject to the word. Every affliction is subject to the word. Then I say to you, Satan, it's over. It's over, because the word has come into the soul of the believer and they have anchored their soul there. You can fight us in our body. You can fight us in our spirit, but you're finished, devil. You are a defeated being by the revelation of the word of Jesus Christ in our souls has brought the devil to his end and brought you to a new beginning. Why? Because the word in our soul becomes our confession. The word in our soul becomes our confession. And I'm going to close on this point. Our bodies obey our confession. Can I get a witness here? Our bodies obey our confession. Paul said, amen, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, which can be interpreted to confession. And who is it? It's Christ Jesus. The high priest of our confession is Christ Jesus. Then who is the anointing? Christ is the anointing. Where is the anointing? It's not just around us. It's not just on us, but it's in us and we're in it. Then the anointed word has become the confession of the anointed believer. When the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, then remember, amen, God will make your body come into your confession. I wish I was a preacher right now. Amen. God will make your body come into your confession. In other words, your body will have to obey your confession by becoming your confession. then if your confession is, I'm well, your body will come into a well state. If your confession is, I'm sealed, then your body will have to agree with the barren record of the Holy Ghost in your soul. I am sealed until the day of my redemption. Oh my, see, if you say you're a drunkard and you want a drink, then don't worry, you'll soon be one. If you say you're a sinner and you want to sin, you'll be right into it. But if you say you're a Christian, if you say you're a Christian, amen, and believe it all along, then watch, your testimony will bring you right into it. Glory to God. Do you see what your testimony is? It is the vehicle from your confession to the obedience in your body. Come on, your confession is, amen, my body is well. Then that confession becomes your testimony. And your testimony will ride you from a confession into a manifestation. Listen, friends, I'm not going to quit confessing the promises of God. Brother Doug, is it okay if I preach here for a second? I think it's time to break out of this negative chatter realm that we've let the devil bring us into. I think it's time to remember what the Bible said. And the Bible said the soles of our feet, amen, is a sign that footsteps mean possession. Then I think it's time to start walking the promises of God and start claiming them regardless of how we feel. Well, I don't feel like I'm saved. But if the word says you're saved, you ought to put your foot on the inheritance of salvation. Well, I don't feel like I can have joy. If the word says you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, you ought to take your mourning shoes off and put your walking shoes on and start walking through the land of promise and put your foot on every divine promise of God. It's yours. I said it's yours. Your confession is the word. Then let your testimony be the vehicle that will drive you from your confession to the manifestation. Come on, church. The prodigal son's father, amen, he had a positive confession. My boy's coming home. My son is coming home. I don't know when, I don't know how, but he's coming home. And he began to confess that until that became his testimony. Amen. And his testimony, amen, drew his boy home. Y'all forgive me. I'm feeling good right here. You got to give it a confession. You got to let your testimony become positive. It's not based on the way you feel. It's based on the confession of the word of faith from your soul. When God said it, accept that it's finished. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. It's finished. Come on, John Ryan. Your prophet told you you're healed. Come on. He told him, you're healed. He said, then listen, John, you're healed. So he went out of there blind as ever. Come back a few weeks later. Said, Brother Branham, you said I was healed. He said, you said you believe me. He said, you said you believe me. Now watch something. Amen. John Ryan had to have something to do. And the prophet of God said, I called it. He said, I had to give John something to say. Whew. I had to give him something to say. He said, so I told him, John, you go down there and sell them papers and you say, amen, extra, extra, read all about it. God has healed my blinded eyes. Amen. And John began to say what a prophet said. Are you with me? John began to confess what a prophet had confessed. And by that confession, it was a vehicle from being a blind man into being a well-seeing man. For all these years, he walked around blind. But one day, he went in the barber shop. He went in the barber shop and he sat down in the barber chair. And the barber said, John, do you want your regular? He said, no, give me number 12. He said, what do you mean, John? You can't see number 12. He said, yeah, I can. Right there it is. Take a little bit off here and a little bit there and leave some on the top. Are you hearing me? Amen. What brought him from being a blind man into being able to see? Amen. Was the confession of the word of God. Amen. Become his testimony. And before long, his body had to obey his confession. Listen, church, my Bible says that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You go right out of this building testifying you're saved. What if you got this building saying, well, I don't know. Then you're not saved. But God will make your body obey your confession. See, he's the high priest of your confession. Before you can be healed, you have to confess it first. Well, I feel like victory right now. Before you can be healed, you have to confess it first. See, you have to believe that you're healed. And then when you believe you're healed, amen, God makes your body obey your confession. See, you take a man sitting here this morning that's not a bit sick and let him begin to get in his heart Where's his heart? It's the residency of the soul. Let him get in his heart, believing he is sick. Then they'll pack him out of the building. As your faith is, so be it unto you. See, that's not Christian science. I'm not meaning mind over matter. But you see, the thing of it is, it's the atmosphere that you live in. So we are heavenlies in our souls. Then our souls refuses to believe anything but what the word says concerning our condition. And the word says, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. And so we confess that. We confess that. We testify that until our bodies come underneath that anointing and our bodies obey our confession. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, amen, the hour has come, amen, to come back to dominion as a believer. We've let negativity run us around long enough. We've let, well, Brother Jewel says it, wowsy, wowsy, woo, poor, pitiful me. We've let that kind of confession run us around to we're ragged and we don't have no faith and every little thing blows us apart. Come on, church. It's time to draw your sword and stand your ground on the confession of the Word of God. How many knows you got a position? Four of you do. How many knows you got a position? You got a position. You know what that position is? That position is in Christ. Do you know what Christ is? He is the head of the body. You are the body and he is the head. Now, I'm going to preach on something and I'm going to close if that's okay. It's time to get back in our position and put the devil in his position. It's time to get back in our position in the body and put the devil back in his position. Do you realize Genesis 3:15 speaks of your position as well as the devil's position? Genesis 3:15 says, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. He said, but now watch, and he shall bruise his heel. So right there is your position as a part of the seed of the woman, which was Christ, which was the Messiah. But look at the devil's position. The devil's position is under your foot. I said the devil's position is under your foot. Now come on, church, because God, when he spoke that, Brother Doug, he gave the devil a lick. Come on, he gave him a lick, but you know where that lick was? It was his heel. In other words, the seed of the woman would bruise that devil's head, but that devil would bruise his heel. In other words, the devil has no rights beyond your heel. If the devil's in your mind, he's out of this place. If the devil's in your spirit, he's out of this place. If the devil's on your shoulder, he's out of this place. If the devil's in your ear, he's out of his place. The devil belongs under your foot. Come on, church. The devil belongs under your foot. He might hit you, but he don't have a right to hit you in the head. He don't have a right to hit you in the side. He only got a right to hit you on the heel, but that devil belongs underneath your foot. Then my Bible says in Luke the 10th chapter, I'm going somewhere. He said like this. He said, I beheld Satan, amen, fall from heaven like lightning, right? He said, now look at this word end. Amen. And he come, that devil fail. When that devil fail, brother, that devil come to his end. When the devil fail, he come to his end. Look at this word fall. It means to come to an end. And the very next word in Luke the 10th chapter, after Satan is cast out of heaven like lightning, the very next scripture says, and behold, I give you power to sit on serpents. To sit on scorpions. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says I give you power, amen, to tread on scorpions. I give you power to tread on serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now we can leave there and we can go to the book of Ephesians where Paul says Christ has become the head of the body. And he said has subdued all things. And what does he say, brother? And has put all things underneath your foot. We can leave there and we can go to Romans the 16th chapter where Paul says, amen, the God of peace, amen, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, can I close by saying this? You know what I think it's time to do, Brother Malachi? I think it's time to bring back some good old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled, foot-stomping religion, amen, back in the house of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean by foot-stomping? I mean by putting that devil back in his place. Well, Brother Andrew, you got to be careful because Brother Branham said, we don't stomp a devil to make him go out. I know, I've read the quotes. He said, we do not stomp a devil to make him go out. He said, but listen, the devil is defeated and you've got a right to stomp on that devil. You got a right tonight by the confession of the word in your soul, amen, to stomp on that devil. You know what? I found out something, Brother Doug. I found out something amazing. Brother Branham actually prayed nearly 31 times on tape. Brother Joel, he would pray for people who had arthritis. You know what that is, arthritis. He would pray for them, and he would say, now listen, he would say, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, heals you, and he makes you well. He said, that arthritis is defeated. He said, now go out of here and stomp on that devil. Over 31 times, he said, go out of here and stomp on that devil. He said, arthritis is healed. Go stomp on that devil. And I got to thinking about that. So I'm a studier, Brother Daniel. So I went to see what is arthritis. Well, arthritis is the condition that comes into the joints and makes them stiffer. Amen. The more age you get on you. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, heals natural arthritis. So you know what happens when you get arthritis? You can get it in your hand. You can get it in your shoulder. You can get it in your neck. You can get it in your elbow. You can get it in your ankle. You can get it anywhere in your body. And what does it do? It makes you stiff and you can't move like you used to move. You can't do what you used to do because an old condition of stiffness called arthritis has got in your body. Now, I'm going to preach here for a second. Amen. Because I found out that we got more than just natural arthritis. Amen. We got spiritual arthritis around the church. Yeah, glory to God. It feels good up here. The devil is defeated. Amen. You know what that spiritual arthritis is? Amen. It's people sit around and they get enough years on them. They got enough quotes. They got enough scriptures memorized. Amen. They don't need the altar no more. They don't need them Bible studies no more, Brother Doug. Amen. They know too much about the church age book. They don't need to. I'm just preaching. They don't need to show up because they're well beyond revelated than you are. Amen. But you know what you got? You got spiritual arthritis. And you know what? We can see it's affecting you. We can, well, glory to God. Don't push back if you don't want me to preach. We can see it's affecting you. Amen. We got people who got spiritual arthritis in their hand, Brother Daniel. You know how I know that? They can't shake hands with certain people. Their hand's too stiff. Are you hearing me? They got spiritual arthritis in their elbow. They used to hug their brother's neck, and the sisters used to hug their sister's neck, but they got spiritual arthritis in their elbow, and it's too stiff to give a brotherly hug or a sister hug. Well, we might as well keep going. Some of them got it in their shoulder. Amen. They used to raise their hands. Amen. But now they can't raise them no more because they got spiritual arthritis in their shoulder. Well, go ahead and go on down. They got spiritual arthritis in their knees. Amen. The word used to go forth and you couldn't tie them down with a bungee cord. Amen. In their chair because every word they was on their feet saying amen. Preach it, Brother Doug. That's the truth. Come on, brother. Lay the word out. But give them a few years and they got spiritual arthritis in their knees. So instead of standing now, they criticize everybody that does stand because they got spiritual arthritis. Well, we might as well go on down to the foot because they used to dance in the spirit. They used to shout and praise God. Amen. But they got spiritual arthritis in their feet. They can't shout no more. They can't dance no more. They can't raise their hands no more. But I want to say this and I'm done. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can heal natural arthritis, then I propose to you tonight that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can heal spiritual arthritis. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say like a prophet said, put your foot on it. Put your foot on that devil. Put your foot on that negative spirit. Put your foot on that bitterness. Put your foot on the head of that devil and let the seed of the word that's in your soul put the devil back in his place. Oh, glory to God. Brother Malachi, amen, won't you try it? Amen. Just a little bit of stomping. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can. Put your foot on that devil. Put your foot on that devil. You have been anointed by the word in your soul to put your foot on that devil. Stomp on that devil of depression. Stomp on that devil of negativity. Stomp on that devil of high blood pressure. Stomp on that devil of confusion. Put your foot on the head of that devil and put the devil back in his place and arise into your position by the authority of the Holy Ghost. I'm not a crazy man. I'm going to put the devil back in his place. I'm going to put him under my foot. I'm going to raise my hands again. I'm going to shout again. I'm going to rejoice over the word again. I'm going to entertain the angel again. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. Brother Bram said, stomp on that negative spirit. You know what else he said? He said, stomp on that imaginary thought. Can I tell you the last one? He said, stomp on that unreasonable thought. You mean thoughts can be unreasonable? That's why a prophet said, stomp on them. You know what unreasonable thoughts are? Nobody loves me at the church. Nobody cares about me. I don't fit in. I'm serpent seed. Nobody loves me. That is unreasonable thoughts. The word in your soul will put the devil under the foot of your body. Well, I want you to stand to your feet with us tonight. The word will put the devil in his place. Put your foot on it. Put your foot on it. Well, I don't feel like it. Put your foot on it. I was out at Brother Biscoe's the other day preaching there at Cloverdale. Amen. There's a Brother Victor Adam Moore out there. You may know Brother Victor. Amen. He was sitting over in the corner, just sitting right where you are, brother. And I was preaching along these lines of put your foot on that devil. Brother, that brother come out there stomping like I never seen anybody stomp. I mean, he was making gigantic stomps. He said, you know what, Brother Andrew, I put the devil under my foot. I said, you know what, that's what you ought to do. Put the devil under your foot. Come on, you ain't got to run all across this building, but right there in your pew, you can lift your foot up and you can put it down. You can lift your foot up and you can put it down. Don't it feel good, Brother Jude? Amen, to put that devil back in his place. The devil has got a position and it's under your foot, and your soul has got a position and it's in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ, where all things are possible, where there's unlimited revival, where there's unlimited power, where there's unlimited blessings, where there's unlimited miracles. I'm talking about a bride's revival that has unlocked the unlimited power of the Holy Ghost in the church again. We're not a bunch of chicken-eyed barnyard chickens. We are born eagles of the word, and we got a right to spread our wings and fly into those other dimensions. Hallelujah. You may think I'm crazy, but I'm free. You may think I'm crazy, but I'm liberated. I got the devil in his place, and I'm on my way to glory. You got to put your foot on it. Got to put your foot on it. Well, Brother Andrew, that devil said, put your foot on it. Stomp on that devil. Well, brother, stomp on that devil. Well, brother, stomp on that devil. He's under your feet. You might as well put him there. Stomp on him, aren't you, sis? Stomp on that devil. You might as well. He's walked all over you. Won't you stomp all over him? He's walked on your kids. He's walked on your marriage. He's walked on your church. He's walked on your pastor. Won't you put your foot on the head of that defeated being? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, defeated him at Calvary. And I charge you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, turn loose of the church of the living God, and let the authority of the word arise and the enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let the power arise. We ain't got to live all stiff, all starchy. We can have fellowship. We can have love. We can have peace. We can have joy. We can have revival on Wednesdays and Sunday morning, Sunday night. Now you say, preacher, you better be careful. No, I'm not, because that devil's on the run. So we might as well run him back to the hell he come out of. That devil's on the run. We might as well run him back to the hell he come out of. Tell that devil, watch out. I was preaching somewhere the day and something struck me, Brother Jude. You know, you, Brother Doug, you know how it is. You're preaching, you pick stuff up while you're preaching. I said, you know what? I said, people right now saying, well, you can't stomp the devil and get him to go out. I said, no. I said, the devil's already defeated. You're not stomping to defeat him. But what you're doing, you ever had an old stray animal come around your house? I know y'all got them coyotes and stuff. Amen. You get your stray animal out there and you want to get rid of him. You know what you do? You get your gun. I know I'm not in the South, but this is how we do things in the South. You get your gun and you put some lead in that old boy. And you know what? If you hit him, he won't run towards you. He'll run from you. And when you hit him, he'll take off. But sometimes, Brother Doug, they'll just kind of stand there and they'll kind of tantalize you. And they'll kind of look at you like, oh, well, you shot me. What are you going to do now? But you know what I found? If you put lead in that old boy, he's already defeated. But you know what we do out south, sometimes up in the south, if somebody, if an old animal, something hanging around, we's defeated, we'll say, get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. When we're stomping, we're not defeating him. We're just getting him out quicker. Well, let me tell you, church, that devil, Sister Jennifer, that devil's already defeated. So you know what your stomping's doing? It's moving a defeated devil out of the building quicker by letting that devil know you've lost your rights over me. You won't control my praise. You won't control my faith. You won't control my family. You won't control my church. You won't control my pastor. You won't control the musicians. You won't control the deacons. You won't control the youth group. Devil, you won't control nothing because you're a defeated being. And we stomp on that devil's head. Put your foot on it. Well, the devil's back in his place, church. He's under your foot. Well, that devil don't like no praising God around here. That devil don't like no praising God around here. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to praise him with all of our might. Devil don't like. Y'all have to help me. The singing voice is gone. Devil don't like no praise. Well, the devil don't like no praising God around here. Well, I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm gonna praise him with all of my might. Well, that devil don't like no stomping around here. Well, that devil don't like no stomping around here. Well, I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm gonna stomp with all of my might. Devil don't like no stomping around here. Devil don't like no preaching around here. That devil don't like no preaching around here. Well, I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm gonna preach with all my might. Devil don't like. Well, that devil don't like no victory around here. Devil don't like no victory around here. What the devil don't like, I've got victory with all my might. Well, I know the devil don't like this. Well, the devil don't like no dancing around here. Well, that devil don't like no dancing around here. But well, that devil don't like no praising God around here. Well, the devil don't like no praising God around here. Well, I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm gonna praise him with all my might. I like this one. Well, that devil don't like no confessing around here. Well, that devil don't want no confessing around here. But I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm gonna confess the word tonight. Devil don't like no confessing. Well, that devil don't like no shouting around here. Well, the devil don't like no shouting around here. Oh, but we don't care what the devil don't like. We're gonna shout with all our might. Devil don't like no shouting. Well, glory. Oh, well, that devil don't like no shouting around here. Shout around here. I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm gonna shout with all my might. Devil don't like no shouting. Well, that devil don't like no marching around here. Well, that devil don't like no marching around here. But I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm gonna march in the promises tonight. Devil don't like no marching. I like this one. Well, that devil don't like no Holy Ghost around here. That devil don't like no Holy Ghost around here. Oh, but we don't care what the devil don't like. We love the Holy Ghost in all of his might. Devil don't like no Holy Ghost. Well, you might as well worship him. That devil don't like no victory around here. Well, that devil don't like no victory around here. Oh, but I don't care what the devil don't like. I got victory here tonight. Devil don't like no victory around here. Well, that devil don't like no stomping around here. Well, that devil don't like no stomping around here. Oh, but I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm going to stomp on his head tonight. The devil don't like no stomping. Well, glory. Well, that devil don't like no stomping around here. Worship the Lord. Around here. Brother Doug, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to put him in his place tonight. Devil don't like glory around here. Well, that devil don't like no stomping around here. Well, that devil don't like no stomping around here. Oh, but we don't care what the devil don't like. He's back in his place tonight. Devil don't like no stomping. One more time. Well, that devil don't like no stomping around here. Well, that devil don't like no stomping around here. Oh, but we don't care what the devil don't like. He's defeated and he's defeated tonight. Well, glory, hallelujah, glory.